You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
I want to say thanks to Russell for opening up our series. This is going to be a good conversation about practices, about rituals in the middle of our spirituality. Russell last week talked about looking and reframing some of the things we do every day and how to make those into spiritual practices. Russell last week talked about work as not just something to make money, but as a vocation, as something that is spiritual. Could you make your work spiritual and worship? Could you do that? Today, we continue to talk about the ritual, the practices that could help our faith to grow. Today, let's focus specifically on this idea of silence, quiet spirits, and what it means to hear, what it means to listen, to practice listening with a quiet spirit. So, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. So what does it mean to hear? Now, the Hebrews had a specific word for hear. What I meant to hear, and it is this, Shema or Shema. Okay, we've heard this before. I've said this from the stage. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's in Deuteronomy. So this Hebrew word for hear, Shema, it's different in many ways from the Greek words for listen or hear. Now, for many of us, hearing is not something we really struggle to do. Now, there are some of us who have hearing difficulties, and if you could hear one thing, you would be so grateful. For most of people, we don't really struggle to listen. We just hear. We kind of take it for granted. So when we hear this passage, when we see this, hear, O Israel, we say to ourselves, okay, I heard, now what? But there's something else going on here. Now, we can listen passively and not actively. I'll give you an example. I've been wanting to use this story for a long time, and I finally get a chance to. So when we first got here to Grapevine, Russell was telling me all about all the stores in the area, you know, because you have a lot of stores here, a lot of shopping, and Russell's telling me about everything. So Christmas time comes up, and Liam has pajama day at school. And we're trying to figure out where we're going to get him some pajamas. And I said, oh, that's perfect. Russell told me there's a PJ Superstore in Southlake. Shelly said, what? I said, yeah, I guess there's a PJ Superstore. You can go get pajamas. They got them for everybody. It makes sense. She goes, you mean PGA Superstore? And I looked at her. That sounds more correct than what I was thinking. She has told that story like there's nobody's business. And it's funny because I really thought he said PJ Superstore because I really wasn't listening to him, I'll be honest. Sorry, Russell. I wasn't listening at that moment. And I just thought to myself, well, they have everything else. Why not a PJ Superstore? And I do play golf, right? And so what I found is that I do that with my wife too. And there are moments whenever I am just passively listening. I'm not active at it. Do you do that or is that just me? Y'all leave me in the dust. Y'all are wrong. What's funny is that we're not talking about passive listening today. This is not passive at all. The Hebrew word shema is not passive. It is active. It's a word that requires action. Now, there are several shema. It's interesting. There are several shema statements in the Old Testament. And this is one specifically in Deuteronomy 27, 9 and 10. Turn there. Keep in Matthew, though, and turn to 27, 9. This is what Moses is telling his people right before Joshua is about to take over. He says this. Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, keep silence and hear, O Israel. This very day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore, obey the Lord your God, observing his commandments and his statutes that I am commanding you today. The word shema has a much deeper meaning than perceiving noise. This word is translated as listen. It is translated as respond with action. It is translated as take heed. It is also translated as obey. For God's people, listening, hearing was not a passive activity. Keep silence and hear. Keep silence, take heed. Keep silence and obey. And earlier, whenever God said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," he goes on to tell them what they're supposed to do with that hearing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Hearing, obedience, it's the same for them. When he said, "Hear, O Israel," it required full engagement. Now, somewhere along the way, the Greeks decided that our minds and our bodies were separate. They have different words for hear and listen. In Matthew 13, Jesus says a particular phrase that I want us to pay attention to. And in fact, seven times in the New Testament, we read the phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, we tend to look at this as a passive exercise. Are you listening? We kind of think, are you listening? Hello? You listening? Is this on? It's not that. This is not about just perceiving noise. If you could take into account the meaning of the Shema that we talked about as we read through this passage, the Shema is twice a daily prayer, by the way, for the Jews during Jesus' time. They prayed it in the morning. They prayed it in the evening. So it's part of their very fabric of their faith. If we look at this idea of Shema as we read Matthew 13, this becomes much more personal. So as we read the passage, don't think passive when we hear the word hear, but rather think full engagement. Let's read. We're going to read a few sections, 1-9. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, and when it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.'" Now, the disciples weren't too quick on the uptake. They were trying to figure this out just like the other people around them, and they'd been with Jesus for several years. "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So they're asking Jesus, kind of pulling him to the side, "Could you explain this to us?" There's a little section in the middle. We're going to skip that for today, but I'm going to go to the explanation. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." And we could go into detail about this. But if you take into account this essence of hearing and doing and obedience, you know, well, I've said this before, to the Jewish mindset back then, knowing something was tied to doing something. If you didn't know it, you didn't do it. If you didn't do it, then you didn't know it. Like for us, we could say, "Well, I know about this." Well, do you? Because you don't really do it. To them, this idea of Shema is the same. So hearing the word, trying to obey, but the worries of life, deceitfulness of wealth, they choke it out of you. And right before it says, hearing the word, receiving it, but it doesn't last. I can't tell you what Chris said this morning and what we're talking about in Ephesians in my class, how important the unity of the Spirit is here, because there are these people in the pews today. You receive it with joy. You try to be obedient, but you know what? You're all alone. This is why it's important for us to encourage one another, to be together, and together to obey. Together we hear. Together we do. And then there's the one who hears the word, who is obedient. He produces a crop. It's about obedience. Hearing and listening, to me, is about obedience. We can listen. We can just sit and listen to the sound of nature. I want us to think deeper. The Greeks came and separated something that wasn't supposed to be separated. This is why James, in chapter 2 of his book, he says, you know, faith without works is dead, because they're not supposed to be separated. They're together. If you believe, you're going to do. If you're really hearing, then you're going to obey. You cannot have one without the other. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him obey. And I know that some of you really want to hear. You really want to obey. You really want to do. So maybe for you it's time to become fully engaged. To do things that are a little uncomfortable. Starting right here. It's difficult to do this whenever we have so much noise in our life and in our spirit to compete with. And I think this is why we need to practice it. We're not inherently good at it, so we got to practice this. So I'm going to encourage you to begin by allowing God to quiet your spirit. So practice this way. Be still before the Lord. If you have a request of God, ask him, and then wait. Silently, patiently. This is hard for me, because I'm in a culture where I can give money and I get something immediately. And if I don't, I can complain and get more than I asked for originally. So imagine just requesting and being still and waiting. Practice. If you're disturbed, if you're irritated, if you are concerned because others are getting ahead, justice is not being served, don't sin. Just wait. Ponder it on your bed and be silent. Allow God to quiet your spirit and listen and hear and heed the word of God. Now, someone once said this, a word is enough for a wise man. If he is a wise man, one word is enough. But if he is not wise, a whole volume will be wasted on him. I encourage you to practice listening with a quiet spirit. Listen more, talk less. Be the last person to talk in a meeting. When you practice hearing, when you're practicing, sit up. Be prepared to hear, not just perceive sound, but be ready to hear, be ready to obey. And Paul says this is the key to faith, by the way. Where does faith come from? I imagine Paul had the same idea in his mind, the same idea of Shema in Romans 10. He says this, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes through from hearing and listening, obeying. It's full engagement here. But what we practice and why we do it comes through the word of Jesus Christ, the promise that he's given us, the hope in him. So the question I have for you is, are you listening? Do you have ears to hear? Are you trying to obey? Or is it just too noisy? Practice silence. Be still. Wait patiently. practice obedience. Practice loving God with everything you are, as it says in Deuteronomy 6. Practice loving your neighbor as yourself, even the ones who make you uncomfortable. As someone said, even the ones who creep you out. Could you love them with everything you are? And what Jesus says is still true today. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Do you need to repent? Do you need to obey God with something specific? And do you just need quiet? Let us pray for you today. It's okay to come forward. No one's going to think any less of you. We would love to pray for you. Our elders are here. So as we stand in a moment and sing, I want you to think to yourself, what can we pray for you? What can we help you with? And if anything, let us pray that God gives you a quiet spirit and that you have ears to hear.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.